We're doing the Rambam's letter to Rabbi Pinchas HaDayan. We're up to page Taf Lamed Tet in the Shilat edition. V'zeh she'amarta al shmot ha'chachamim, and what you mentioned about the names of the sages, k'lo hazkarti shmot rubei ha'chachamim, tanaim ha'moreim, b'tchilat ha'chibur. So, you mentioned, how come I don't say things in the name of the rabbi I'm quoting in my Mishnah Torah? I just quote halachos. So he says, you know, I did mention most of the sages in my introduction. Kaim kenu? Do you really think so? Shekol mi shepasak halachot v'asa solet nekiya garam l'shem shamayim l'itchalel kmo shala alibcha? You consider it that I desecrated God's name because I don't say where I got my halachos from, who I'm quoting. Do you really think that anyone that writes a distilled version of halacha, anyone that writes a halacha sefer, is desecrating God's name? כבר קדמוני גאונים וגדולים שחיברו חיברים ופסקו הלכות בלשון עברי ובלשון ערבי בעניינים ידועים, you know. There were giants and geniuses that preceded me that wrote different works and ruled different rulings, be it in Hebrew, be it in Arabic, about different topics. Each one took their topic and they wrote their distilled version of halacha. אבל לפסוק הלכות בכל התלמוד ובכל דיני התורה לא קדמני אדם אחר רבינו הקדוש ופסיעתו הקדושה. The uniqueness of what I did is only in the encompassing nature of what I did. That what I did encompasses all the laws of the Torah, all the laws of the Talmud. That's what's unique. But the idea that I don't quote the rabbis, I just say in a general sense, I'm basing what I say on what the rabbis said in the Talmud. Now everyone's done that. This encompassing format that I have of my Mishneh Torah is unique, and from the days of Rebbe HaKadosh, no one's done it other than me. Now, there's an interesting point, the way the Rambam writes it. The Rambam writes, since the days of the holy Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and his holy group. So this brings us back to a different conversation we once had about, very often we speak about Rebbe. Rebbe compiled the Mishnah. You'll notice the Rambam doesn't word it that way. And that helps us understand how Rebbe could give the power of Rabbim in the Mishnah. Just because Rebbe holds one way, how could he give that one opinion the power that he quotes it as though the masses hold that way? So this is an answer that Rav David Feinstein told us in Shir, that Rebbe wasn't alone in what he was doing. He was working with the whole Academy of Rabbis, and that's what the Rambam's saying here too. We say Rebbe, we don't mean only Rebbe. We mean Rebbe and his the holy group of rabbis who were with him.
So he's saying, the rabbi is makshi on him for giving a psak without telling whose name it is in the Gemara?
Yeah.
So when we say groups, we're saying ultimately because the Rambam got his tradition from Yosef Adan to the Rav Nigash to the Rif, that's the group? What's the group he's speaking about?
He's not saying that he worked with a group. He's saying Rebbe worked with a group.
So right. We're saying the only reason why he's getting hit on, battered on, is because of hit in his statement, is because of his all-encompassing work. That ultimately, there's been plenty of people previous to him. There's been a lot of people previous to him that wrote halachic compendiums that didn't quote works, and there was no problem. It's only
correct
because of my broadness of my work.
That's his next sentence. Do you mean to say just because I've encompassed so much, that's the desecration of Hashem's name? That doesn't seem to make sense. So you'll tell me, well, there are students who learn your work and they don't know who you're quoting and they don't know where you get your halachas from. You know that when a person composes a work, he doesn't have control. He can't accompany that work and say, you learn it and you don't learn it. I published it, so some people learn it who don't know. But in general, what can I do? I can't accompany my work and tell people who should learn it and who shouldn't. So there are going to be some students who learn, and they don't realize that everything I'm saying stems from the Talmud. But I don't have control over that. He says, and I want you to know, I already explained in my introduction the format that I chose was to work along the lines of the Mishnah and use the language of the Mishnah. I write it in Hebrew and I write it divided into halachos and chapters like the Mishnah. But you guys, with all due respect, you didn't take note of what I wrote in my introduction. And you don't even know the difference between the format of Mishnah and the format of Talmud. And because you guys don't really understand what I said, so that's why you wrote to me in your second letter the following. וגם כשאני מעיין בחיבור שרבינו מוצאני בהם פעמים רבות דברים הנסתרים מעיניי, מפני שהם בלא ראיות ואין דעתי צלולה להבינם. You wrote to me that when you look at my work, you find many times that I write things that you don't understand, and the reason is because I write things without proving them, and I don't understand where you got that from. So this Rabbi Pinchas Adayin asked Maimonides, he says, very often I come across halachos that you ruled and you don't tell me why you ruled that way and you don't prove your logic, so I don't know where you got it from. Yeah.
So Rabbi Pinchas Adayin obviously had some type of a stature being a big Talmid Chacham, right? So ultimately, back in the times of the Rishonim, they had plumbed the depths of Talmud to such a degree, and the Sifrei and the Sifra, right? We say even the Mechilta we're grasping. So wouldn't he ultimately, if he had such a stature, wouldn't he ultimately, the Rambam would say something, oh, you went like this Shita instead of this Shita? Well, aren't we, shouldn't there be an assumption there that Rabbi Pinchas was on such a level that when Rambam elucidated the Halakha, that Rabbi Pinchas would say, it brings him back, this is in Chul and this is in Mechilta, whatever it is?
Well, it's not always so clear. And you see that Rabbi Pinchas said about himself that I don't always know where you got that from. And there's a place where the Rambam himself writes that when he was reviewing his work, he didn't always remember where he got things from. Elu nusach hadvarim. This is what you said. Vata faresh. Now I want to explain. Da alufim yudei. I want you to know. I treat you with great respect. Alufim yudei is talking to him as though you are my senior, you are my beloved, you are you're the one above me. Shekol mi shekatav sefer ben bedivrei Torah ben bedivrei shar chokhmot. Anyone that wrote a book, be it in the words of Torah, be it in other wisdoms, ben min hagoyim kadmonim balei chokhmot, ben min harofim, it could be ancient scholars, non-Jewish scholars, it could be doctors. When people wrote works, echad mishnei drachim mu'ochez, there was one of two formats that they could use. Oder chibur, oder perush. They could either compile a work or they could make a work that's explanatory. And when you're compiling a work, a new compilation, so then you just write what's right. You don't question, you don't answer, and you don't prove. That's what Rebbe did in the Mishnah. He doesn't work to prove anything. He just tells you, this is the halacha, this is when you do this, this is what you do here. He's telling you what to do. So if you're going to write a work and it's going to be guidelines, well, if you're going to give guidelines, you don't explain where you got it from. But if you're coming to explain, so then you explain what's right, and then you explain what would be contradictory to it, and you quote all the questions you might ask over something, and how you answer them, and then you bring the proofs why this is true and this is false, or why this fits and this doesn't. So that's what they did in the Talmud. The Talmud is there to explain the Mishnah. So that's why the Talmud goes that route, where it explains every point it says. I wasn't coming to write a work like the Talmud. You're right. My goal was not to prove everything I said. My goal was to write a work like the Mishnah, a guideline, which tells you what to do. I'm not here to prove why I hold that way. Now maybe someone who doesn't really understand would come and question me. But you see, in the Mishnah, they do mention the names of the sages. V'idamesh zoi ha-ra'ya. You might think that's my proof. Ploni omer kach, uploni omer kach. In zo ra'ya. You might tell me, the Mishnah does prove what it says, because it tells you, Rabbi so-and-so said so. Isn't that proof? The Rambam says, that's not proof. Ha'ra'ya hi lo'odia mipnei ma'amar ploni kach, u mipnei ma'amar ploni kach. Zo ra'ya. If you're If you're going to talk to me about proof, proof involves explaining why he said this way or that way. The fact that a Mishnah says, Rabbi Tarfon said, Rabbi Akiva said, Beit Shammai said, that's no proof. So the Mishnah doesn't bother proving anything. It just tells you what each one said. The fact that it quotes it in their names, that's not a proof. Proof means you explain why they said it. That's what the Talmud is doing. I wrote my work in the way of the Mishnah, in which I just say what you should do. I don't explain the proof for it. And you're right, I don't explain the proof. I wasn't intending on explaining the proof, and that's what I wrote in my introduction. So that when you write me, when I look through your work, I don't know where you get things from, and you don't even prove it. You're right, I don't prove it. I told you in my introduction I wouldn't prove it. That wasn't my goal in the work.
Can we assume that